Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
A well-respected national voice has very lofty expectations for the Denver Broncos. It's Joel Klatt, one of the premier voices of college football. He joined Schlereth and Evans this morning and was very high on the Broncos roster and their ceiling as a team if they can get competent quarterback play. This is Joel Klatt from this morning.
Guys, I got to tell you, like, going into this season, I thought to myself, this team is probably a top 4 or 5 team in the National Football League, save for the question of quarterbacks, and that's exactly how I feel coming out of that Minnesota game. I mean, they are a really, really good team.
A top 4 or 5 roster, save for the quarterback. Fair?
I mean, I think that's a little bit high, but the roster's put together nicely. This offensive line is got depth. They're coming back in year two. You know, I mean, offensively, man, if you got an offensive line, you know, you can do some different things. And,
sure.
And you should be able to run the football. And that opens up a lot of things. Defensively, look, I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, top 5 defense for sure. I mean, that's expectations. Top 3 secondary, that should be the expectations. I mean, that's a really good unit on that side of the football. And the one question mark is the quarterback position. Do you remember when Mark Schlereth called in and told us about the news that it could be happening with Aaron Rodgers? Do you remember that day? Do you remember what we were talking about? Remember what we had to do? We had visions of grandeur. Like,
grandeur?
Yes. We had those visions.
Visions of grandeur.
Yes.
Grand visions.
Yes. Is that not right? Close? It's got to be close.
You're close.
Close. Okay, perfect.
And horseshoes?
Yes.
You got yourself
that's
a waiter.
That's how we are constructed here from noon to 3.
That's right.
Just get close. Just get it close. It's good. Like, within, you know, it's a gimme. Pick it up. 3 feet, you're good.
Right.
From noon to 3.
Pick it up.
That's right. It doesn't even have to be a tap-in. Within 3 feet on this show.
That's right.
Visions of grandeur. I mean, that's what we had when it came to the addition of Aaron Rodgers. What were we thinking? Like, oh, playoffs for sure. That's playoffs for sure.
That's waking up out of bed.
I could actually see the Broncos in the Super Bowl this year. So that tells you about the roster right there.
Great point.
So, yes. So
great point.
I'm with Joe. I mean, it's a really, really good roster.
Even without Aaron Rodgers, Joe Klatt still has a really high bar.
This team, guys, I think is an incredible team. I think that this is a team that could be easily in a divisional playoff round, maybe into an AFC championship round if they get quality quarterback play.
Wow. Well, I mean, what's quality quarterback play would be my, you know, question. You know, is that more towards upper echelon? Is that more game manager, middle of the road? I'm not quite, you know, going that far with what we have right now. You know, the most important position is the position the Broncos don't have checked. And that's the hard part when you're looking at this roster and projecting what it could be.
You're going to have injuries.
Like, you're going to have different things that happen. And when you have a top flight quarterback, guess what? You're able to overcome those things. He's able to mask those blemishes, right?
Well, the hope is that the roster's so good, there's not much to mask.
You're exactly right. But what happens when you start having injuries?
Yeah.
Right?
Broncos aren't going to have injuries.
You will have injuries.
Yeah.
But when you have one of these great quarterbacks, you know, hey, guess what? They make Robert Tonyan look like an all-pro tight end.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's the thing that these quarterbacks do for you. You don't have to have all those other positions checked. But when you don't have a quarterback, you need all those other positions checked. And the Broncos do to a certain degree. So, but they still have to have a lot of things go their way.
Right.
For them to be successful. I don't. I can't really picture an AFC Championship game team here. I just can't. It's like they hit all green lights. I'm still not picturing AFC Championship. I mean, if this team could get into the playoffs, to me, that's all green lights.
Yes. And if this team goes to the playoffs, it's party time.
Just popping bottles.
I mean, seriously.
Okay, let's go.
Get the Moet. Pop, pop.
That Moet. That Cristal.
Right.
Want some of that Cristal?
Get it brought to you with the old sparklers on it.
There we go. That's right. I mean, we're throwing parties. I mean, seriously. We're talking about playoffs. Right, I mean, I'm not even trying to sound like Jim Moore, but but that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, or you know, it's almost like a little bit of Jim Moore and Allen Iverson. But
playoffs,
yeah, right. We're talking about the playoffs, and this team hasn't had a winning season in 4 years. Right, they haven't been to the playoffs since the Super Bowl.
You're talking
and how awesome would that be? Because it's been really bad around here.
Really bad.
So I can't go to, you know,
doubling your win total.
Right.
I mean, that's what you'd have to do.
Yeah. I can't go to anything beyond just getting to the playoffs. And if that happens, I mean, what a remarkable, great turnaround. And it was an unbelievable year.
No question about it. But to Joel's, you know, assertion, this could be a team playing the AFC Championship game. I cannot close my eyes and envision the Broncos playing on championship weekend when I can't close my eyes and tell you who's going to be the starting quarterback against the Giants in 3 weeks.
Yeah. That's not going to happen, but I understand where he's coming from. And you're right. That's the most important position. And when you don't know who it is, look, Case Keenum came out of nowhere when whoever got hurt for him and, you know, rallied that team and they had an unbelievable year. But, man, when you don't know.
Replacing Bradford.
Yeah, when you don't know, it's like, how can you just think that one of these guys is going to just drop in and play good enough for you to get to, I mean, that's hard to do. Look at the AFC. Some good team.
Yeah.
But I understand where Joel is coming from here and that because the roster is that good. But I think AFC Championship game, I mean, that's crazy, but playoffs, okay. I mean, they have that type of roster, but you need competent quarterback play, consistent quarterback play.
You need a Case Keenum type of season.
Yeah.
In 2017 for the Vikings, you know, a handful of times a game, play over your head, have a great rushing game, have a great defense, coach him up, and you can do it. No one's saying it can't be done here, but we'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell. All right. Rockies are about to get underway here.
Yeah.
They did it again last night. You can't make this stuff up. They go, their previous homestand before this one, they went 5-1. They go on the road and go 1-5, and now they're off to another 2-0 start to their home trip, or their homestand. 7-3. Over the Padres. They just flat out have the Padres number, by the way. They've already clinched a season series. This is a roster in San Diego with a ton of talent,
yeah,
with a huge payroll. And the Rockies just kind of have them under their thumb for whatever reason.
Yeah, it was a nice couple wins the last two nights. Had leads, gave leads up, and, you know, responded the following inning. It's been impressive to see what they've been able to do at home. Fun group, though. I mean, it is a fun group to watch. I mean,
I told you
they've exceeded my expectations.
I said this group has some charm to it.
Yeah.
There's something about them that is,
you know, you look at the names, and, I mean, it's like, all right. I mean, Crone, Connor Joe, and, I mean, it's like guys we've never heard of. And,
you know, the over-under?
Playing really, really well.
You know what the over-under is here today? This afternoon?
No, I don't.
14.
No, actually, I do, because in a couple days ago, the first game was like 13. I took the under. That hit. I just can't see taking overs. Now, you got you have Chichi Gonzalez going against the guy, Jake Arrieta.
Yes.
Who struggled this year. He was with the Cubs. I think they released him, and then I guess the Padres picked him up. But so it's a beautiful day. Ball will be flying. What do you think?
Is it a day game at Coors Field?
It's a day game at Coors Field.
You know what side I'm on.
Mm.
Over, over, over. 14?
14?
Not high enough.
No?
Nope. Nope. Hashtag save the audio.
Yeah, save that.
Speaking of well-respected national voices, we were just talking about Joel Klatt, maybe the most trusted voice in football may have just endorsed Brandon Stokely's viewpoint on the Broncos quarterback battle. Man, you can't make this next one up.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
When you think of, like, NFL media, who are the three most trusted voices for you?
Adam Schefter. Ian Rappaport is, you know, the heavyweight, other heavyweight. Who else? I mean, those are the two big
Peter
ones.
King.
Yeah, there you go.
Jay Glazer or someone like that.
Jay Glazer. I saw him at the Hall of Fame. Ran into him a couple different nights. Yeah, fun guy, you know, just a fun guy. Like him a lot.
Jay Glazer's different. He's not, you know who he kind of reminds me of is like a Dana White. He just like kind of does his own thing. He's not really worried about anyone else. He's a little bit more colorful than Schefter or Rappaport. And that's probably a very imperfect, you know, analogy, but it just kind of strikes me as like, I'm in my own lane.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
I'm in my own lane. I got my sources. I'm good.
Right. He has a different, you know, set of sources than the other guys, and but he does a good job.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's the third one.
But it kind of starts with Schefter, doesn't it? Like, kind of starts with Adam Schefter.
Yeah. He's the big one.
It rings out, if you will. He was on The Drive this week, and I swear to God, it almost like he was listening to our show and echoed back something, an idea that you brought to the forefront, I don't know, maybe like 5-6 weeks ago, something like that.
If you're talking Broncos, you want to listen to our show.
This is Adam Schefter from yesterday on The Drive.
I thought it was interesting that after the game, Vic said it was even Steven, because it was a game in which Drew Lock started, and I thought Drew Lock shined early on. I know Teddy came in with the second team and played well, and Teddy will get his chance to start this week, I presume, and then they'll make a decision. But the fact that Drew Lock wasn't ahead to me raised my antenna a little bit, because this is a team we think that's going to play good, sound, smart, tough defense. And I think that they are going to want somebody not to make mistakes. And I think, and I felt this before, like if you're going to make a decision, then probably it's easier to go from Teddy to Drew Lock than it is Drew Lock to Teddy. If you go Drew Lock and the team struggles at some point, they make a change, that's pretty much it for Drew Lock, right?
I mean, whoa.
Whoa.
It literally sounds verbatim.
Exactly what I said 5-6 weeks ago.
Like verbatim, though.
Yes. But obviously I agree with him. And we talked about this a while ago. I think it's easier to go start with Teddy. And then if Teddy struggles, look, now here you go, Drew. Now it's your time. And guess what, Drew? You've had time to kind of sit back, regroup, take your time. When did you play your best football? Your rookie year. And that's exactly what you did your rookie year. So if we need you, you're best coming in relief anyway. And then if he struggles, you can always go back to Teddy. Teddy's cool. Teddy's been through this rodeo before. But if you start with Drew and you have to bench Drew, it's game over. You can't go back to him.
This is your own voice. Good job, Richie, digging this up. July 22nd.
Oh, wow.
Check this out.
You're never going to be able to go back to Drew, though. In this situation where if Teddy's the guy, you can go to Drew. If Teddy's struggling, you can go to Drew. And then if Drew's struggling worse, you can always go back to Teddy. You can't go Drew, Teddy, Drew. Once you move away from Drew, his career with the Broncos is over. Put a fork in him. He's done.
Richie, good day for Richie today. Digging that July 22nd? Okay, about a month ago.
Yeah.
I mean, just exactly what I just said. I believe that. But Schefter believes that also.
Do you think that the Broncos legitimately take this into consideration? Like, we can always go to Teddy. Teddy has played this role before. let's see what we have with Drew. But the links in his chain are fewer than ever before. And if we need to make a move early, even if it's week three, we're making a move.
I think that stuff is way down at the bottom of the list of things that they're concerned about. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there type of thing. Like, who gives us the best chance to win week one? Who do we feel best about week one? And, you know, you don't look, you know, we can look far in advance, but they don't. They're kind of like grinding week by week. They're in the foxhole, right? They're in their bunker mentality, is what coaches get into. Is this week by week, because things change so quickly in the NFL, injuries, performance. So I think that stuff is way secondary for them, like worrying about which way can we navigate. You know, start here, go to here. Now it's going to be hard to go back to this guy.
Because you're kind of if you're having those conversations, you're kind of planning on stuff going wrong.
Right.
And you're trying to just put yourself in the position where things go right.
That's right. That's right. So you don't want to start thinking about, I mean, look, you want to have a plan for everything, though. Obviously, you want to have a plan for everything, but I think that stuff is way secondary. You're just worried about putting the best quarterback on the field that will help you win week one. Who's the best guy that you think can help you win that week? And, you know, if they don't get the job done, then you cross that bridge when you get there.
This is more from Adam Schefter yesterday on with Tyler and D-Mac, talking about him being skeptical that they need more time after this week to name a starting quarterback.
Here's the thing. Look, you watch these guys during the offseason. You watch them through training camp. Do you really think you need one extra week to make a decision? I mean, really? Come on. I know it's even Steven. I mean, maybe that happens, Tyler. Like, all of a sudden somebody just starts tearing up and practicing and feel better about it. But you mean to tell me that after this next game, they're not going to have an idea who the starter is going to be? That they need to see one more week of practice to make that determination? I mean, come on.
That was me, too, 2 weeks ago. When I said after the Seattle game, by that, they're playing Saturday, by that Monday, Vic needs to make a decision. Exact same reasons that Adam Schefter mentioned. Adam's been listening. Appreciate you, Adam.
I mean, it
2 weeks ago. That's what we talked about, Zach. Like, same, like, you mean to tell me that you can't make a decision? And what's going to change after Seattle? Nothing's going to change.
Nothing.
Nothing. So make the decision.
The game against the Seahawks is this Saturday on the 21st. Will we have a starter named that Tuesday?
Why Tuesday? Why not Monday? Do they not have practice? Like,
I'm just going by like this past week. They had their game on Saturday. And
they practiced Monday.
You know, they did practice. It was just closed.
Right, it was closed.
And I think it was like a bit of a walkthrough, I want to say.
Yeah, but like...
Monday.
Yeah, Monday. That's why, I mean, like, you probably have Sunday off because you get back in late, you know, from Seattle. Monday or Tuesday, make the stinking decision. Do I think they will? No.
I don't think so either.
No. I mean, that's been their MO. Just drag this thing on. But nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. You're not going to be like, oh, my gosh, this guy, I can't believe he's playing this well now. You know, we thought it was going to be Teddy, and now look at Drew this last week. Oh, my goodness, we got to go with Drew. That's not going to happen. Pick one of them and move on. They should be able to. They have enough information, but I don't think they will. What do you think? I mean, I know you just said you don't think they will, but you think they have enough info by Monday or Tuesday?
I definitely think they have enough information. I do not think that there's going to be, as I called it yesterday, some eureka moment where everything comes into focus. I think it's going to be blurry then, like it's blurry now, and you're just going to have to make a call. But my gut tells me, and I said this a couple weeks ago to you as well, my gut tells me that this thing will drag into the first week of the regular season.
Yeah, you did say that.
And I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
Didn't we make a bet on that? I don't know.
I don't think so.
We got to start keeping track. Because you're kind of... worming your way out of some of these, I
really?
Think. Yeah, that's a feeling. Like, I can't really pin you down on certain things.
Can you give me one example?
I just told you. I can't pin it because you asked me for those, and I can't give them to you. But there's just this feeling. There's just this feeling that, you know, you're getting over on me on a few bets that you owe me.
But you can't think of one.
No, but because I forget. I get so much action all over the place. You know, bam, bam, bam. You're like secondary action, and I just forget about the coffees. But we start talking about these things,
yeah.
And flashbacks, like... You know, like, yeah, I thought we made a bet there. So, whatever.
I don't think that we did.
Just chalk it up
possible.
To be part of the game.
Like Vic said, yes, it is possible.
Right, exactly.
Okay. We're out at practice. We're out at practice today. Stokely's star of the day. Who stood out and gets their name immortalized on the statue outside of Dove Valley? That's next.
Yes, it is possible.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
All right, we're out there at practice today. Got to have a star of the day. Now, wasn't a great day. What beat is this, Richie? Top of the world? Who's that? No idea? All right. I'm sure the text line will let us know. So you gotta have a star of the day. Who stuck out to you?
There was a couple.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. A
couple candidates out there today. It wasn't a huge list to go over when you look at the candidates for star of the day. You want me to give you my two candidates?
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you steal one for Twinkle of the Day.
Well, let me just say this. Trinity Benson was on the positive end of an over-the-top touchdown thrown by Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
But he's already been your star of the day.
Right.
He's already been
your Twinkle.
My Twinkle. He was day one. Day one Trinity.
No, he wasn't.
He was not?
No.
Who was my day one?
Eric Salbert.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I have down. I had KJ Hamler. You had Salbert.
That's confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed. Richie just confirmed that.
I haven't read
that. Day two?
This is day three.
Day three.
That's why I read it. That's why I wrote it down.
Hey, day three for Trinity. Trinity three, right?
There you go.
Not bad.
Yep. I had a couple candidates though. Noah Fant had a nice bounce back day. I think he didn't have a great day yesterday. Had a couple drops yesterday. He had a nice bounce back day. Now, he did drop one.
He did.
But he made a couple big plays down the field. Justin Simmons, did he have one or two interceptions today? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I believe he had two.
Two.
One on Rippon, one on Bridgewater.
But two, right. Yeah. And his one on Bridgewater, I will clarify for people, because I'm watching it. You know, Merrillat's like he's being a cheerleader over there. You know, he's like, you know, jumping up and down, like, oh my gosh, it's an interception. You know, terrible throw by Teddy. I'm like, oh, settle down over there, fella. Right? And, the ball was thrown to Judy, and Judy was running like a double move. And when he was about 10 or 12 yards down the field, the DB was like skiing on him. All right? He's like latched onto him skiing and, grabbing him, holding him. And Teddy threw it out there. Well, Judy couldn't go get it, and because the guy was holding Jerry Judy, so the ball was like 8 yards overthrown, and it was almost like a fair catch for Justin Simmons. Easy interception, but that's no interception, Justin. I'm sorry, because it's a holding call because the DB was skiing on Jerry Judy.
Gotcha.
So, you know, there's always context. Now, if you listen to Merrillat, it's the worst throw ever, and this is why Drew Lock should be the starting quarterback, but... Was it a great throw? No, but it wasn't an awful throw because it looked worse than what it was. But when you take the whole picture into consideration, you understand that it's first and 10, you know, for the Broncos offense still because the DB was holding. And they don't have refs out there right now.
Right.
Like they used to.
Right.
You know, they used to have refs out there that would be throwing flags.
Well, they do that sometimes. It just
I've only seen it once or twice. That's it. They used to have them every single day. We'd have refs practice, you know, during the season. I guess the virus deal maybe is why they're not having it.
I saw them out there at one point.
No, they did. They were.
I just don't know why they're not out there like they used to be.
And refs come in and visit, so maybe it was just the NFL refs. We used to have refs like every day. I think it might have been the main refs that were coming in to visit. They give you the point of emphasis. Hey, taunting.
Yep.
Right. This type of thing. You know, they do their video deal. But that was certainly holding. So it nullifies the interception by Justin Simmons. So Justin Simmons really only had one for the day. So star of the day goes to our guy, Noah Fant.
I like it.
Had a nice bounce back day from yesterday. He did have one drop, but he made some big plays down the football field. Noah Fant, really nice day today. Bounce
back day. I like it. I like it. Put him down. Gets his name carved in the Brandon Stokely Memorial Trophy that sits outside of UC Health Trading
Center. Next to the Super Bowl 50 trophy and all the other Super Bowl trophies.
Yep,
and
it's in the case.
Yep, it's in the case.
It's in the case. And if you don't see it in the case, you're not looking in the right case on the right floor.
Yeah, it might be getting cleaned at that time, too. They polish it up every day. So
true.
It takes an hour or two, so that's probably it's getting cleaned up.
You are in your college's Hall of Fame, got your number retired there, played 15 years in the league. At one point, you were a 1,000-yard receiver, 10 touchdowns in the same season. So it's right that you get a star.
Yeah.
Now, I'm in my high school's Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, sure.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
So it's only
you
right.
You shut down Jimmer Fredette.
I
locked him down.
I did.
Made your hometown newspaper.
That's it. A couple times.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Got a couple articles in my wallet. Not just that one that you see all the time. There's another one tucked back there also.
I'm the only guy that you've ever met has wallets on both sides of his rear end.
I carry two
one
wallets.
One for my cards and money, and then the other for old newspapers.
One for my clippings.
So I get a twinkle.
Yes.
I get a twinkle.
Twinkle,
I was not very impressed with practice.
Yeah.
All right. It was pretty underwhelming. But I got to give a twinkle. My twinkle of the day is to Vic Fangio.
Oh.
For shutting that thing down early.
You make an intelligent observation.
I'm giving it to Vic. First time that Vic has won this award
first coach
in his 3 years. Wow.
For ending practice at 11:05.
Wow. Give it to Vic because yesterday he went a little bit long.
Went a little bit long.
And that thing dragged out. But, yes, it was nice. It was nice being able to get out there a little bit early. You know, take your time getting your coffee, get here, get things situated. So that was nice of Vic. We certainly appreciate that.
Certainly appreciate it. Gave me a chance to catch up with some of our great listeners there. I mentioned Gail and Troy visiting from Sturgis, but also Bert, former pilot, commercial, and for the National Guard. Is retired, listens to our show every day. He's from New Orleans.
Uh-oh.
And he said, Stokely, he said, like, that Brandon was not the first time that I was a Stokely fan. He said, being from Louisiana, he said, it was Nelson Stokely.
That's it. Oh, and, look at how about that? My dad.
Really cool. And he said, yeah, it was Nelson Stokely. So then I heard Stokely doing radio in Denver. I said, is that Nelson's son?
Is that Nelson's boy?
Yeah. So really cool, to meet him. He was very, very kind.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's really nice. It's, my dad passed away 10, 11 years ago. But he played quarterback at LSU. He was a really good high school player. And so it's cool to hear, those stories.
Coordinator for a Clemson team that won the national title, right?
Yep.
Really cool. Really cool. All right.
I got to ask you a question real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, look, we see this a lot from both of us. But for me, I mean, you give me your honest opinion. It's like Stoke is biased. Like I'm biased towards Teddy or I'm like biased towards, not giving Drew Lock credit when he deserves credit. Is it skewed a little bit from my perspective, do you think?
I will say this. There has not been a day where you have said X guy won the day that I haven't agreed with. Who did you have winning the day yesterday?
Yesterday I had Teddy winning the day. Today I had Drew winning the day.
Like, so you kind of hear what you want to hear. And I don't know.
Stokely the Teddy apologist, reading out of his book of Teddy excuse. I'm just giving you the facts. I'm just telling you what happened on that play. And, that was all. That was it. Like you can hear from someone else that said Teddy threw an awful interception. It wasn't great, but I'm telling you why it happened.
That's all.
Drew won the day. Drew was better. Both of them were bad. Both of them were bad yesterday. Teddy won the day. This thing's a coin flip. I wouldn't be shocked if Drew wins it now. I mean, he went out there and played great Saturday. There you go. I mean,
can't make everyone happy.
No, that's right, Zach. That's right. I'm a pleaser. I'm a pleaser, and that's where I get in trouble.
But here's how I know that you just kind of, I would like to think we just as a show, we hear it from both sides. I get told every single day that I am anti whatever, and then in the same day I'm anti the other guy. So it's just, look, it just is what it is. It's all good. It's all good. Just reporting on what we see. What did Troy Rank see today out at practice? Did he have Drew winning the day today? We'll check in with Troy coming up next.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Hey, one of our great listeners pointed out that we disagreed on who won the day after the first day of training camp. You remember? After the first day one of training camp, you and I disagreed on who won the day.
Yeah.
Since then, we have came to the same conclusion.
But we both said that day, like, okay. I mean, like,
it was close.
It was close. I could see how you could think Drew won it, and you could see how I thought Teddy won it. I mean, it was one of those days where it wasn't clear cut.
Okay. We are efforting Troy. See who he thought won the day.
I got
today.
A quick question for you. We don't have Troy yet. Can
and
I
yesterday.
Ask you the question?
Of course.
So you're about to take off,
yes.
Right? You said earlier. Are you going sleeveless on the plane? Or are you going to change?
I am going sleeveless and sockless. And I'm sockless to make sure I can cut my nails during the flight.
Yes, you have said you do like to cut your nails on the plane. Do you bring a towel, like to at least put the towel down when you cut your nails?
No, just brush them to the seat in front of me and behind me.
Right.
And to the sides of me.
Yeah, just like I don't see anything.
Look, they're toenails, right? No, they're not going to hurt anyone.
No. Toenails never killed anyone.
No.
Certainly not.
No, I will change. I will.
You're going to put sleeves on?
I'm going to put sleeves on.
Come on.
I mean, they're not going to let me on the plane with guns.
Oh, that's true.
Come on.
That's true. There you go. There you go.
Look at these things, man. They're growing. They're growing. Oh, Lordy.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. I didn't know. Never know with you what you're going to try to pull off.
Never know.
Nope.
Never know.
I think that's you don't want to be sleeveless on a plane, right?
No.
I mean, like,
no.
You got to.
I'm not dressing up, but I'll put sleeves on.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You don't need to dress up, but.
That used to be the way. You gotta
back in the day.
Put your best stuff on. I'm trying to get through TSA with little problem as.
Yeah.
You know.
Rich straight carry on?
Just straight carry on.
Straight carry on?
Yep. Yeah. It's just me.
I always worry about the size of your stuff that you can put in your toiletry bag or whatever. You know, all that stuff like, oh, is this too much? Because you don't want to get your stuff confiscated.
Right.
Right? So that's always like, how many? 2.8 ounces? Okay. I always have to Google it before every flight if I'm carrying on.
Yeah. And we've been that family where when you're checking a bag, can't be over 50 pounds.
Oh,
and
oh
it's
yeah.
Like 53, uh-oh. Then like, you got to, like, in front of everyone, you got a big line, you got to take stuff out.
There goes your underwear flying out, like, oh, no, not, don't look at that, don't look at that.
Right. Yeah. I was going to wash these.
Right.
Just didn't have time.
Yeah. You're trying to get under that 50 limit. Yeah.
Right.
I've had that happen before. It's not fun.
Oh,
you're sweating.
Man.
You know, you've been waiting in line. Yeah.
Feel the pressure of people behind you.
Breathing, like, come on, hurry up.
Yeah, it's not. Like this guy. You didn't have a scale at your house?
Right. Come on, guy.
All right, we're going to get on the a horn here with Troy. Troy, it sounded like now let me just say, we were out there watching practice, and this is yesterday. You thought Teddy had a better day. That's probably not the way to phrase it. It was just not as bad as a day that Drew had. I agreed with you. Cecil agreed with you. Merrillat.
Right, even James said that he thought Teddy won yesterday. I mean, even James Merrillat said that.
And DMAC came in here and said that Drew won the day. And I believe Troy Rank agreed with DMAC. Troy, if you don't mind, first of all, welcome back to the program, my man.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, man. Explain who you had winning yesterday and today and why.
Well, yesterday, I viewed it through a different lens that based on how Drew played Saturday, my expectations for Teddy were higher. So maybe some said Drew won, but my point is Teddy needed to play better yesterday. Based on everything that happened over the weekend, the competition has changed. And for Teddy to come out and just not play well, like if declaring a winner yesterday literally was the evil of two lessers. Neither one of them played well. But from my point, Teddy didn't win because of my expectations for him. Is that unfair? I don't know.
Well, what about your expectations for Drew after the performance that he had?
He's always inconsistent. That's who he is. That's his trademark. That's what he's trying to shed, that label. Teddy is a guy who's been in the league forever. He knows what's at stake now. And to come out and have that kind of practice, it was disappointing. My expectation for him was higher, I guess, than most. And then leading into today, I thought Drew played better early, and then Teddy finished strong late. He had a big pass to Trinity Benson. Drew also finished with, by my count, five straight incompletions. So to, you know, register a winner today, I would say Teddy won today. But they, against this defense, one thing I have noticed now after being in Minnesota and being back here, these quarterbacks struggle way more against this defense than they did against Minnesota's defense.
Yeah, Troy,
and
look.
That's part of the issue.
Right, and I think you're spot on. Like, the last 2 days have been bad from both guys. Like, you could look at it and say, okay, this guy won today, that guy won today. But I think we can all agree it hasn't been good enough. You know, what we saw Saturday, I've been disappointed with what I've seen the last couple of days. I was hoping to see more consistency because they both played really well on Saturday, and we just haven't seen that consistency from either one of those guys the last 2 days.
Yeah, and that's where I'm wondering, and Stoke, you've lived in these rooms, is, you know, we wait, as media members, we can only kind of talk about what we see, and you have sources inside, but we're not privy to the information behind the scenes, how they weigh all these metrics, is two bad practices or three bad practices the equivalent of a bad or good game? I mean, how does that work? And how long do they evaluate this? For me, it's probably from the beginning of training camp, not really OTAs, but that's where I'm trying to figure this out, is when Vic said today that he's pretty darn close to being able to make a decision, then it makes you think, well, does that mean Teddy's been in the lead all along and Drew hasn't done enough? Or is it Teddy's disappointed him because he hasn't done it? I mean, that's where it gets confusing to me. But the game matters Saturday, there's no doubt. And for me, Teddy needs to go out, and I don't say he needs to play like Drew did against Minnesota, but if he goes 7-for-15 with a pick, and Drew plays well against the second and third string like I expect him to, the optics of choosing Teddy then would be difficult for me. Like, okay, you're going to have to get into a nuanced explanation of what really mattered, because what we've seen at that point, it would be hard to say Teddy's won. Now, Teddy goes out and goes 7-for-10, 100 yards and a touchdown, and Drew's just okay, then okay, it's been even all along, we give it to the veteran because that's a philosophical decision. It's to me, they need to make a decision after Seattle, but I'm wondering now, based on what I'm being told, could it go into that Rams game? I do think that's still up in the air as to what they would take it through that game.
Yeah, and, you know, we have been speculating about it. And my guess is, I said 2 weeks ago and I said in hour number one, my guess is it will. I think that Vic Fangio is going to stretch this thing out. And I want to ask you, Troy, are you getting the similar vibes that I am, that just from puzzle pieces, clues, right? Because like, they're not going to come out and say it, like what is being discussed behind closed doors, but you get these little clues. Halftime of the Vikings game, you know, when Drew just had a absolute best case scenario, and the first thing that Vic does is sort of play defense on it and bring up Teddy immediately. Are you getting the vibes that Vic just truly wants to start Teddy Bridgewater?
I mean, I felt that before camp began because of the urgency to win in September, that you could trust the veteran to basically be a game manager and you could go 2-1 or 3-0. What changed is that, you know, Drew outplayed Teddy. Again, the 80-yard touchdown skews the stats, but if Drew takes care of the ball, he has a higher upside. We can all agree on that. But Teddy, for me, has always had a much higher floor. But is it high enough of a floor to discount what you're seeing from Drew? And that's where I don't know how they're grading this behind the scenes. Are there enough mistakes from Drew to still give them pause that he's just not ready to take care of the ball? Because that would be what it would come down to for me, is they just don't trust him to take care of the ball with this defense. But I had that vibe, to answer your question. What was so odd today, though, is Drew was talking more confidently. He's matured unbelievably since his rookie year, but he was reflective. And, you know, this is hard, and there's times I think about it. I'm only human, but I control what I control. I just want to make this team better. This competition's made me better. Where Teddy today
talk more like a backup. Like, well, hey, well, I was with Drew Brees. I ended up playing. You know, you just never know when you're going to be needed. And he wouldn't bite on the question when asked directly, have you done enough to start? And it's like, well, you know, I'm out here to be a better dad, a better father, a better teammate. It was just odd today. Drew sounded like a starter and Teddy talked like a backup. Maybe that's all part of this elaborate mystery that we're covering, because I've felt all along that Teddy had a slight tilt. I just don't feel that anymore. It feels more open. Would I be surprised if Teddy wins it? I would not. But it feels more open than it did a week ago.
Troy, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, expectations the next couple weeks. Do you think we'll see them in a preseason game?
I do. I think we're going to see them both. Now, will they both be in this week's game? I think there's a chance we see them both this week. Bradley's ready. He's ready to play. And I don't know, do you want to play him against the Rams, against backup linemen? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, I guess that's hopefully Coach Fangio's decision. You are going to see him play in the preseason, though. Will it both be this week? Because I think you're going to see a huge chunk of defensive starters play this week. Then maybe you see three or four the next week. I don't know. But I don't know if they both play together, but they're both going to play in the preseason. Vaughn was back at practice today. They've had a really good camp. I would be disappointed with anything less than, you know, anything fewer than 20 sacks. The last time they were together and played, they had, what, 26 and a half, 14 and 12 and a half? I mean, the 25 should be the number. That should be like the baseline for these two if they're healthy.
Troy, we appreciate your time. As always, checking in with you once a week, courtesy of ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. Appreciate you, man.
You got it, guys. Take care, too.
All right, there he goes, Troy Rank. Welcome in to the program, James Merrillat. There is a lot to discuss here. The picture remains unfocused. This was Vic Fangio from earlier today. If the battle at quarterback stays this close, could it extend into that third preseason game?
Yeah, I definitely think that some of the guys could play third week. I think that players that have lost out with the elimination of the fourth game is the guys that usually play in the fourth game. You know, you still have that 2 week period between the third game and your opener. So a lot of teams didn't play guys in the fourth game because they wanted that, you know, pseudo bye.
KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Yeah, Vic's absolutely spot on right there. I mean, the fourth game was the guys that were, you know, trying to audition, and now they might not have that audition, and they might not have that chance to catch on with another team. But look, we've seen enough. It ain't that close. You like one of them, just end up making the call and calling this thing and picking a winner. Right, that one more week's not going to all of a sudden a light bulb go off. I think that third preseason game, you start risking things. I mean, who else are they going to play if they do come down to the wire? I mean, are they going to play Drew and Teddy? Then now you have to play some of the offensive linemen, play some of your starters. Is it going to look like game one? You know, not just
great
like
question.
That's the trouble that you run into. Hey, why not we just pick one guy? Okay, and you know, it's like. You know, it's like the Peyton Manning decision to choose the Denver Broncos. There was no perfect decision. You know, he said it. His job was to make whatever decision that he makes and make it a good decision, right? So pick one of these guys that y'all feel is best and then make it a good decision. Make it work.
James, before we hear from you, this is more just for contextual purposes. This is Vic Fangio from just a little bit ago on if he has enough information to make that decision.
Pretty damn close, but we got more information coming. Okay.
Pretty close.
Classic Vic Fangio.
No, but right? Hey, he's close. So, I mean, James.
Do you have enough information? Oh, we're pretty damn close, but we could stretch this out two more games. Well, like, it can't be both, right? Like, Zach Eulis like to say, you know what, two things can be true at the same time. How can it be both of those? How can you be pretty damn close, but also need two more games and a whole nother week of practice to make this decision? Like, that doesn't add up to me. Here's what I think is going to happen. And I'm reading between the lines, but listening to Vic Fangio and listening to the entire press conference, you know, he's not biting on the way the Rams do it and the Seahawks do it. And, you know, kind of these new school guys where they really just don't even use preseason. He's old school. And back in the day, the third preseason game was quote unquote the dress rehearsal. right? The fourth game, you would sit everybody and take the day off. But the third game was dress rehearsal. Starters come back out after halftime.
Yeah, you gotta come back out after halftime.
You gotta learn to do that, right? All that nonsense. I think the Broncos are gonna name a starter, because they're pretty damn close. They're gonna name the starter next week. And then they're gonna use the third preseason game as their dress rehearsal. It's gonna be Teddy or Drew out there with the ones. Everybody's gonna go through it like it's a real game and get ready for this thing. And that's how they're going to do the third preseason game. Now, I don't think that's particularly the right way to go or the smart way to
go. What would you do then? I don't mind that. If they, my only concern, James, is that they wait to the last second to name a quarterback. I'd rather them do it early and use that third preseason game as a dress rehearsal. I'm fine with that. This offense could use some extra work, especially when you know who the starter is. And oh, by the way, you still have an extra week now to, it's almost like a mini bye. You have an extra week before your first game, like you had a fourth preseason game almost. So I don't mind that at all. Just name a stinking quarterback and let's go.
Yeah. No, the only thing that I think would be just bang your head against the table would be not naming a starter, going into the third game and letting them both audition again, and then dragging this out as he suggested or joked about at the media barbecue of, I may take this all the way into the, you know, week one, the week leading up to week one, which would just be, you know, let's just all bang our head against the wall.
I think that's in play.
I think it is too.
I think that's in play. And someone says this on the RamosLaw.com text line, 939. Put your name on. Give you a shout out. They said, he knows. It's very simple. He is just messing with the New York Giants. That would be a catastrophic mistake. If you think that Joe Judge and the New York Giants are losing sleep, whether they're going to prepare for Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock, they have a bunch of tape on both of the guys, all right? But my biggest issue is if that could be part of the reason, the way that in 2019 he didn't name Drew the starter over Brandon Allen until Saturday, 24 hours before the game, my biggest problem then was, well, you're taking away valuable reps from the guy that you already know is going to start. Reps matter. You told us all about how reps matter a year ago, but we know that to be true. If you don't name it, that means you're still splitting reps for a team that has to start quick. That would, of any scenario, with picking either guy, I think that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, whatever advantage you would gain, and I don't know that there's a big one, but the gamesmanship, you would be playing that to gain an advantage over the Giants. Whatever advantage you would gain, I think you more than give back with the disadvantage you're putting in your team in, because you don't name it, you're splitting reps, guys don't know, there's this, you know, question that just continues to hang over everyone, that everyone's having to ask and or answer those questions every day. Yeah, I think that would be silly, but is it in play? Yeah, it's in play, because this entire situation is silly. It really is. Like, we haven't learned anything in the last 3 weeks that we didn't know all offseason, right? The two guys are exactly what we thought they were, right? Kind of the Denny Green quote. They are who we thought they were. Nothing has really been a big surprise. It's a philosophical choice.
That's it. Yes.
Right?
You're right.
Are you playing for the future and playing for the higher ceiling? Are you riding the roller coaster or riding the people mover when you're in Tomorrowland? I've been using that analogy for 2 months and it remains the same. Are we going to learn something new up in Seattle? No, but I did have kind of an epiphany about practice.
You had an epiphany?
Yeah. About practice.
Yeah. We leave there every day saying the same thing.
Pretty much.
Nothing happened. There's no separation. They didn't do anything. I think it's designed to be that way. Here's my analogy. And Stoke, you would know this. You're a big celebrity TV commercial guy, right?
What?
If you go to a commercial shoot, you sit around and you watch guys set up lights.
A lot of downtime.
And you watch sound checks and they rehearse lines. And if you sat there for that entire process, it would be kind of unfair to say, this is going to be a terrible commercial. You kind of need to see the commercial. What's it look like when it's put together as a 30-second spot or a 60-second spot? Which is the games? The practices have been awful. They've been boring. They do these weird things where they practice incompletions. Today they practiced a Hail Mary but didn't let the defense play. They practiced an end-of-game interception for the final play of practice today with Brett Rypien intentionally throwing it to the defense.
That was weird.
So the defense could practice, just take a knee, don't try and run it back. Like, that's what they're doing. I think it's all by design. We're judging the commercial based on how boring it is to sit there on the set and watch guys test lights and test sound. That's what I think's happening. That's my epiphany.
Well, so, Well, what do you want them to do would be my thing. Like,
no,
I'm
not criticizing what they're doing because the end result was good, right? Their first game against the Vikings was, hey, they played really well.
Well, I think that was twofold. And I told Zach earlier, they played so well because, first of all, they're playing backups, guys we're not going to see. Right?
Sure.
That's a fact. All right? Now, you still got to go out there and execute. And second, I think because – what did they do? The first play, the second play, they ran the football for
yep.
positive yards. When they can run the football, that opens everything up. In practice, the defense don't care about running the football. They don't have to tackle. They just tag off. They just tap the guy.
Exactly. But they spend a ton of time doing individual drills, the water breaks, which we all joke about, special teams. I've never seen this many special teams periods in training camp. Usually it's like they have a day or two that is kind of, let's give everybody a day off and we'll call it a special teams practice. They do a ton of that. And then when they do 7-on-7, or particularly 11-on-11, more than half the plays are runs, right? They're constantly handing the ball off
also
and running their end-arounds and doing all that stuff. And you can't evaluate really how well that's going in non-tackling drills, right? So there's a handful of plays to even look at.
You're right. It's no rhythm. But don't you think, and we talked about this earlier in camp, just the structure of practice, right? Broncos, Vic Fangio, look, they're doing the same old, right? This is what we did in the 80s. This
yeah.
is how we practiced in the 90s. I mean, these are the same practices I went through, right? I mean, same structure. You're going to have, you know, except we didn't have the water breaks they have, but you're going to have, you know, like a bunch of different scenarios, 7-on-7 team, a run period, except they don't do 1-on-1s. I don't get that. They don't do any 1-on-1s, wide receiver versus DBs. I mean, we've seen that two or three times and that's it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a little special teams practice and you get back going again. You do situational stuff, right? But I just think that this year, more so than any, they should have thought a little bit more outside the box. You know, we talked about it, Zach. You don't need Brett Rippon taking any reps. Put him on the other field with those other guys. And it's just Drew and Teddy, just rep after rep after rep after rep. These guys need it. And we're not getting that. There's no rhythm to practice. And I think it's hurting the Broncos offense and hurting both these quarterbacks.
I think we should stopwatch it tomorrow. I think Drew and Teddy spend more time standing around doing nothing than they do in the huddle, running drills, whether it's 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. I think the actual amount of time
I think it'd be close.
They're in there
yeah.
is maybe 30 minutes. Maybe. It's a lot of just doing nothing. And so when nothing happens, I mean, they'll do a water break, and then they'll do special teams. I mean, on the clock, you probably go 15, 20 minutes with essentially nothing happening, right? It's Sam Martin trying to punt it out of bounds at the 5. And so there's nothing to evaluate. I think it's all about the games. I think they put Drew Locke in a position to succeed in the first game when he had his audition. He hit it out of the park, and that's why I think Vic is pretty damn close. I did a 180 with this epiphany. I think it's Drew's job. I think what
really?
I think what Troy just said is spot on. Teddy sounded like the backup today. Drew sounded like the starter. I think it's a glorious day in Broncos country. I think Drew Locke's going to be named the starter. That's what I think is going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, well, full blown
180.
Completely in 24 hours. Like I really thought it was, you know, the way practices were going, it felt that way. But I think what they all said today, Vic Fangio, what we heard from Troy Rank, what we heard from the two quarterbacks, I think Drew won the job with his performance in Minnesota. I don't think there's a way Teddy can go out in his chance with the ones and outdo what Drew did with his chance with the ones. He really can't. Like, numerically, I mean, I guess it's possible. He could have a 158 point. He could be perfect quarterback rating, but it's going to be tough to top. I think Drew did everything he's supposed to do.
We'll get that wager here shortly, James. We'll figure it out.
I hope that you're right. I hope that you're right. But we'll see. I am going to go catch a flight to upstate New York and be a groomsman in my buddy's wedding.
Have a good trip, buddy.
Oh, it's going to be a great trip. We're going to make it short. So please, Stoke,
Yeah.
Please.
I won't screw it up.
Make sure we have a show.
I know. I'll try. I won't say I won't. I'll try not to.
That's not, you don't have much faith in me? Is that what's going on here?
Is that who's working with you? Are you guys, the next 2 days?
Yeah.
Just keep, just.
Okay, keep it on the rails?
Keep him on the rails. The show will be fun. Keep him on the rails. All right. We heard from Drew Locke reacting to where he's at with this quarterback competition, and we'll play it for you next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.